A 58-year-old man arrested by the police in the United States after he reportedly attempted to shoot Donald Trump had apparently said in a 2023 interview that he planned to recruit soldiers from Afghanistan through Pakistan who would fight in Ukraine against Russian forces. The man's name is Ryan Wesley Routh. He had an AK-47 perched against a chain-link fence when he was in fact detected. The second attack on the life of Donald Trump, he survived both these attacks. What does this say about U.S. security and politically, how does this play out?
An AK-47 style rifle, a backpack and a GoPro camera. The things left behind by the suspect in the second attempt on Donald Trump's life in the last 2 months. The suspect, identified as 58-year-old Ryan Routh, was arrested as he tried to flee when a U.S. Secret Service agent spotted him. The Trump campaign said that the 78-year-old was safe and the Republican presidential nominee lauded the U.S. Secret Service for protecting his life as a sniper got within 100 yards of him while he played golf at his Florida club. Just about 2 months ago, Thomas Matthew Crooks had fired at Trump with an AR-15-style rifle from the roof of a nearby building, sending shockwaves across the globe. The latest incident has raised questions on the U.S. Secret Service again, as a gunman was spotted within shooting distance of Trump one more time. Authorities say that Trump does not have the same level of security as the sitting president, and the Secret Service already provides adequate protection.
But the Secret Service did exactly what they should have done. They provided exactly what the protection should have been, and their agent did a fantastic job.
U.S. President Joe Biden has condemned the incident and said there is no place for political violence in the country. There are many questions that will need to be answered in the coming days as the FBI investigates the case. With Vishal Vivek, Bureau Report, NDTV.
Well, joining us now, Glenn Kahl, Irina Sukerman, Jonah Blank and Puneet Ahluwalia. Thank you all very much for being with us. Mr. Kahl, the fact that you've had two attacks on the life of Donald Trump in just a couple of months of each other, what does it say about the state of security around Trump?
I think it says less about the state of security around Trump than about the state of political discourse and the tensions in American society during this campaign and for the past decade at least. The security in July was shown, the first attempt against Trump was shown to have two particular gaps or flaws, coordination between or among the various services involved, the Secret Service with local law enforcement. Local law enforcement was aware of this person and its warnings were not acted upon, so there was a coordination problem. And then coverage, since they allowed a direct access line of sight, which was not covered. In this instance, none of that is the case. And the Secret Service acted appropriately. The report just a moment ago said to come within 100 yards or meters. I don't know the facts myself, but I had heard that it was 300 meters. And the challenge in this specific instance, but in general, is a golf course is 7 kilometers long and probably 2 kilometers wide at any given time, and it's a constantly moving target. So the Secret Service has to secure every instant, every specific spot. And that's much different than a an auditorium where one would give a speech that you can protect in advance. Mm-hmm. So it's a real challenge. And in this instance, I think the Secret Service acted about as one can hope.
Irina Sukerman, the key point is that Donald Trump doesn't enjoy the same level of protection as as a serving U.S. president. Do you believe that after this incident, we might actually see his security be stepped up much more substantially? You know, the second attempt by somebody to end his life, irrespective of how the Secret Service acted today, do you believe that it's going to be stepped up, security around Trump?
Well, thank you for asking that. I think the issue is not quantity, but quality of the Secret Service. And the truth is, even the sitting president does not enjoy the level of protection that he should, judging from the incident of the IRGC and ISI operatives infiltrating the Secret Service during the Biden presidency and bribing their way up to the very top and then being essentially released to return back to their respective countries. That signals significant vulnerabilities within the structure, and it signals that security in general is not being taken seriously from the very top. And of course, that signal then goes out to everyone from state actor threats to individuals with mental problems. And if there's security problems at the very top, they feel like they feel more encouraged to act at lower levels as
right.
well.
Jonah Blank, how does this play out politically?
Well, it's a good question, Vishnu. We saw in July an attempt on the former president's life. Did not really have a very long-lasting impact as seen in the polls. It's unclear how this one will. Remember that all of the attempts we've seen in recent history have not really been political per se. There have been individuals with very clear mental problems in both July and, at least according to initial press reports here, individuals who had some past association either voting for Mr. Trump or for Republican Party registration. So I think we have to turn down the rhetoric and really see these as a non-political mental illness and guns issue rather than an active political action.
Okay. Puneet Ahluwalia, in terms of the discourse in the elections and what we hear from the Republicans and Trump himself after this attack, do we expect to hear more references to how Trump has been attacked not once but twice? Some would suggest that perhaps he's not made that many references to these attacks. He's spoken about problems with Biden. He's hit out at Kamala Harris. But in terms of referring to what he's encountered, do you believe that that might become a key part of what he speaks, his election ploy, as it were?
Well, Vishnu, the first thing, it's a failure on the part of the Homeland Security and the leadership there and Secretary Mayorkas. It should not happen. It is baffling and concerning why these failures are coming up on the part of the Homeland Security. But I think the most important thing is the rhetoric that's coming out of the leadership in the Democratic Party and their media and their outlets. It's basically merely divisive, and they're leading by emotions and passion rather than by the reason. And that's what President Trump is trying to bring back, the issues that's impacting and facing the American public. We have a serious inflation problem. We have an immigration problem. We have a border problem. We have a cost of living. People are really concerned with this election. And the divisiveness or the polarization that's being let loose by the Democratic Party and their outlets is really concerning. That's the biggest issue that we have, that we have second attempt on his life. But he's still staying on message, staying focused, and he's very, very committed to serving the American people. But the other issue we have is we are spending about every 88 days, we're spending $1 trillion. Our debt is at $14 trillion. That's the concern, and that's what he wants to bring the American public and the attention to issues that face the American public. So I think it's a failure on Secretary Mayorkas and the leadership at Homeland Security. I think it should be ensured that he's a former president and the leader of the political party, which is going to be going to election in November, should be given the same security as the president. I think it's not the people issue, it's a leadership issue.
Okay. Glenn Carl, would you agree? I did see the statements from the White House saying that, you know, whatever needed to be done to protect Trump would be done. Is that sufficient?
I think almost every word that we heard is just now literally complete nonsense. It's as though we're looking at the negative of a photograph and white is black and black is white. I mean, that was just every single sentence was foolish there. The Secret Service protection has provided to presidential candidates, former presidents, members of cabinet, and the president has very clearly established series of protocols. The number of agents, I believe, assigned to Donald Trump since the July attack has been, I think, doubled. The procedures taken are, there are flaws sometimes, certainly, yes, but that it's not being taken seriously is just a foolish incendiary thing to say. To signal that incendiary rhetoric comes from the White House and the Democratic Party is an outrageous lie, frankly. When you look at the past 10 years, we can do a data analysis, but we don't really need to, of statements by political leaders. And where the divisive comments have primarily come has been from Donald Trump, his entourage, and the Republican Party. That's not a partisan statement. That's an objective fact. The responses by the Democrats have been saying, don't do this. This is incendiary. Isn't it incendiary for individual X to say the following? When you associate yourself with people who deny reality, such as Laura Loomer, who's denied that 9/11 happened or was perpetrated by my colleagues, apparently, although I was basically involved in the issue and can tell you that that is complete garbage. Where does the incendiary comments come from? That's not just an isolated example. So are there improvements that the Secret Service can make? Absolutely. Do they have resource challenges? Absolutely. Should the coverage of Donald Trump and others perhaps be increased? That's debatable, but possible. But the characterizations are foolish. Just one last data point. Talk about inflation being higher now. That's the exact opposite of the truth. So in order for anyone to advance, we have to at least talk about objective facts and reality, and that's not what we heard.
Puneet, you want to reply?
Glenn lives in a bubble, as most of the Democratic leadership does, because they don't realize that real problems faced by the people. And that's the reason. It's that kind of foolishness and dumbness and ignorance that I think he's done a disservice to our great agency, the CIA. So I think all his years, which he has spent, I think is a wasted time on American people. But more importantly, I think that's the bubble, the Democratic.
Let's not get personal with each other. Come on.
Yeah. No. But the reason is, yes, and that's a liberal elite lives in, don't recognize what's the issue that are faced by the American people. And that's what is President Trump highlighting. Inflation is high. The cost of business is high. Look at everywhere. You go to Home Depot. You go look at the inventory. The cars are not selling. The goods and cost of bread and butter have gone up. We have a serious problem in this time, and thanks to the liberal elite, which are completely disconnected with the American people. Thank you.
All right. Look, we leave it over there. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. It is a frightening reality, Trump being targeted once again, whether it's 300 meters or perhaps a little less than that. You know, this shooter or this potential shooter did come very close. What happens next? How does this play out politically? That's the story we'll continue to track. I'd like to thank all of our guests very much for being with us.